Hariji.
Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhi tamastama vidivishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 122. Sorry. Pladmars continued. A living entity desires comfort for his body and makes many plans for this purpose. But actually the body is the property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces the living entity and then leaves him aside. Since the body itself is ultimately meant to become stool or earth, what is the meaning of the paraphernalia related to the body, such as wives, residence, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasuries, animals, and ministers? They are also temporary. What more can be said about this? All this paraphernalia is very near and dear as long as the body exists. But as soon as the body is destroyed, all things related to the body are also finished. Therefore, actually, one has nothing to do with them. But because of ignorance, one accepts them as valuable. Right? They're seen as valuable. Someone has all these different things like that. But we see that when they leave, all that things that were seen as valuable, when they were there after the person goes, then no one really knows what to do with them. Yeah. That's the whole point. Yeah. Compared to the ocean of eternal happiness, they are most insignificant. What is the use of such insignificant relationships for the eternal living being? Footnote 36. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 44 to 45 to Bhagavad Arkramichimala, chapter 14, called Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Pratikula Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So these are the things that get in the way, right? It's not that we see plenty of examples, Priyavrata and others, engaging everything in the Lord's service. But it's engagement in the Lord's service that gives it value. Not that it has value because of its connection with the body. Right? It's connected with the body. We use the body in Lord's service. So those, therefore, things connected to the body, we also use in the Lord's service. That's their only value. Not that they have value on their own. Like this morning, we'll say this, and then the hand will go up and says, no, but, you know, all these things can be, you know, connected to Krishna, so wouldn't we consider them? You understand? The whole point is something is only of value connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, then... I don't know what it was, but they all get there and ready, and then they start wagging, they move the back tail, you know, and it's...
You know, you're talking about Trinity.
Yes. Yes. Oh, maybe that's why they're here at this time, right? This is all the machine to leave.
Well, they pretended to be ones?
I'm not sure. Oh, it'll just move around and go away. They're technically wild cats, but somehow or another, occasionally they like some attention.
Well, they were sleeping when I came on the mat.
Sleeping here?
Yeah.
It's gonna be funny on the recording.
Okay.
The other one is the tomcat. The other one's a bit more shy.
Okay. Then they're going to do something else, Kat. Okay. Where were we? Yeah, so this cat and all things connected to him have nothing to do with the soul. Generally, they're not this bold, right? Envy isn't
that.
Huh?
That one is jealous.
That one doesn't know what to do, right? Okay, we have to go back to class, Cat, so sorry. Meow. Meow. Very determined there. This is a cat that hasn't been petted for probably ever and now it wants its fair share.
Can't like you much. Maybe you heard your comment that you're not a dog person.
Maybe. No, we can work with dogs, but I'm just saying we always have cats. Dogs are easy. Cats are more difficult. Okay. My dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, the living entity receives different kinds of bodies according to his previous fruit of activities. Thus he is seen to suffer with reference to his particular body in all conditions of life, beginning with his infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruit of activities, which result in hardship and misery? Right. So his point is we've established that this is what happens. As soon as you start these things, then you become miserable. But, so, therefore, what is the living entity's actual interest? Right? Because the living entity does not become satisfied by all this. But there's somehow or another the idea that they can be. Right? As Prabhupada mentioned, hope against hope. That something can be gained. Maybe, okay, it's never worked before, so maybe this time it can work. Right? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Okay, cat. Oh, okay. Let's sit there. That's good. Some of that cat that you make sound and then they all work and they go. Okay. The living entity has received his present body, because of his past fruit of activity, may end the results of his actions in this life. But this does not mean that he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death, because of his gross ignorance. So he may finish some aspect of karma, and that's finished with his body. But the problem is his actions that he's performing now creates the next body. Right? So since you have to act anyway, and it's going to be trouble, and you have to put in full effort to try to gain anything, so why not put that into Krishna consciousness? Then the same endeavor will get you back to Godhead. Right? That's the principle. Otherwise, then it's thought, no, Krishna consciousness is one thing, this is another. But it's all Krishna's energy. And that energy itself, if seen in connection with the Lord, then it works nicely. And if it's not seen in connection with the Lord, it doesn't work nicely. This camera you're holding there, what will you do with what is inside the camera?
Same, like
usually,
it's holds better attention when you're watching this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Do you have such a thing called as a tripod?
It didn't fit in my
lunch. Oh, because the tripod, then you can just put it, right. And then you can pay attention to the class. Otherwise, what happens is you create this little vortex over there that I always have to skip. No, it's not that. Yeah, it's called the fourth wall. Right? Because there's a different mood. So this is the attentions on the class. Here it's the attentions on the camera. So as long as you don't mind that, then we're good. Right? You understand? As long as you don't mind that I ignore you, then that's okay. Okay, because then you can just put it, let it run, and then you can sit and take part. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the jiva performs actions with a human body which produces karma. He attains another body on swarga by his actions, without distinguishing these two bodies from atma. We thought the cat was a disturbance. He thinks, I perform action, I enjoy swarga as a result of my actions. This type of identity has no sense of discrimination, since the atma is completely free from both bodies. Right? So the atma himself is not performing these actions. Right? The body under the modes of nature is performing all the actions. But because the living entity identifies with it, therefore, then he doesn't make the distinction. Right? He wants a particular thing, that particular thing is happening, right? And then because of that happening, then he thinks, yes, see, it's all me. But actually the soul is just observing. You know, it's like they're not doing anything. That's the whole point. So this is the difficulty. He's not discerning the difference between himself as the soul and the body. And then what effect is the material nature and the body interacting? Because the modes make the body work, the soul doesn't. The soul simply has desire, and because of that desire, then things are happening. One has a desire, then one wants that to be involved with that body in a particular way. Super soul, sanctions that. The modes of nature carry out the actions with the body and the transformations. But we think that I'm doing this. But actually it's not. The body is doing this. Does this make sense? So when that's understood, then it's a matter of, okay, I need to serve Krishna. So 1/10,000, the tip of the hair kind of floating around, is not going to do a whole lot. Right? Therefore, then you have the element of, I use this body. That's the facility I have, right? In the spiritual world, we have a spiritual body. Material world, we have the material body. So the principle of engaging the body, mind, and words in the Lord's service is the same. It's just the quality of body in the spiritual world is eternal, while the one here is temporary, right? There it's based on our natural affection for Krishna, while here it's based on our particular affection at the time for the material energy, right? So the body we have is, what particular affection do we have now, combined with what karma we have, what we deserve. Does that make sense? But the principle is this is what you have. So then this is used in the Lord's service. Does this make sense? So nothing changes. Nothing changes in that way. Does that make sense? Never actually seen them so forward. Generally, they're very, very shy.
Maybe hungry.
Oh, that could be also. Yeah, probably hungry. You're thinking, oh, the cat's thinking, oh, the cat thinks I'm so nice. The cat thinking, wow, this would be good. Okay, does this make sense? It's a very different perspective. So then if we're looking at it that way, then what's the point of identifying with the body and all those things connected with the body? Then it's just a matter of the body. I mean, to do service, we use the body, and the body is connected with its field of action. And then so we just simply engage that field of action in the Lord's service. Right? So it's not a matter of our attachment to it. It's just a matter of, this is what we have. Does this make sense? Right? So, therefore, this idea that, we have this kind of body, we require this, we require that, the body actually doesn't require anything. Right? Take any country in the world, well, maybe not any country, but many countries, and specifically in this discussion we'll have to take first world countries, because according to the modern concept they're the only ones that count. So if you're not from one, I'm really sorry, we don't mean to offend anybody, but, you know, we're just going with the modern way of the liberal thinking, right? Because the liberal is all-accommodating and accommodates anything, this first world, and any other country that's willing to, kowtow to that, right? You know, simple, right? So then saying that we require this, so therefore we see is that there's plenty of people that are expats all over the world. Right? So this idea is that, oh no, I have to eat this, I have to live here, I have to dress like this. The body actually couldn't care less. Right? You know, you have the kid, you know, he sees the Chinese guy on the airplane, you know, he goes over to the Chinese guy and starts to, you know, speak his broken Chinese that he's trying to learn. And the Chinese looking guy looks at him and says, I'm from Chicago. Right? You know, so that's the whole point. And the guy probably eats pizza and not with chopsticks. You know? What do you call it? China, the old ladies probably would eat it with chopsticks. Like that. I saw one old lady eat a pear. She balanced it on the chopsticks and ate the whole thing down to the core. How she did it, I have no idea. They all used to eat soup with chopsticks. Actually, it worked quite good. But yeah, but it has to be their soup. You know. You know, cream of tomato probably wouldn't work with chopsticks. Yeah. You know, so this whole thing is that no, this body requires this. No, this body can get adjusted to anything. Right? This body can get adjusted to anything. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that we simply look at what we have. All that work with the Sphinx cat, right? They had a Sphinx cat outside there. Oh, yeah. That would come sit outside their house. Yeah, he's really trying for it. He's determined to get some attention. That's Vridavrata, right?
Yeah.
One-pointed focus.
His intelligence is not fixed. The person.
No. It's just in general. He just knows that people have hands and they can, you know, scratch his head.
Right.
Yes.
When we compare the material endeavor and spiritual endeavor,
right,
we all have our occupational duties,
right,
which should be performed, and
yes,
then still we have to make as much endeavor as possible for spiritual,
yes,
endeavors.
Right.
So can we say that we just do everything in the mood that this is all encompassing, going towards spiritual goal, Krishna?
Yes, the mood is there, but then there should also be the goal itself, not just say it is,
yeah,
because we have that also. It says, oh no, but it's all for Krishna. It says, great, show how. Because if you just say, then that's nice. At least the sentiment is there. So it's a start, but then you have to be able to see the goal, and then therefore see the knowledge in connection with how this desire and that goal connect. Right? Because if you have the subject and object, you have to connect it by a verb. So what is that action? So that will be based on knowledge, right? My desire will be your need, and my knowledge will be my action, right? Does that make sense? So with that, those two parallels, then everything will work. Does that make sense? Yeah. So Prahlad Maharaj's point is that you have this activities. Now, if we connect it to Krishna, it's spiritual. If we don't connect it to Krishna, it's material. So his point is what's the use of the material? And basically, since it's the same thing, right? Because that whole list that he gave, then that whole list, Priyavrata was engaging in the Lord's service, right? Wives, residence, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasuries, animals, and ministers, right? So if, you know, we're giving the level like a king, because, you know, he's a prince. They must all be of this similar kind of nature. So then they would have all these, right? Either their parents have, so they'll have in the future, but they potentially have. So it's a matter of the mechanics of engagement are the same. But what is the purpose of your goal? That's what changes. Is it to please yourself or is it to please Krishna? Right? So if there would be, let us say, because of that, there might be some fine points that you might make. You know, you won't, to make this particular business deal, you may not absolutely destroy the other person, branch and root, because you're a devotee. So therefore, you know, you'll get the proper profit and leave them still there. You know, but the principle of business in that remains the same. Right? The principle of management remains the same. Whatever art you're using remains the same. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point, is that since the endeavor has to be there, and let us say if we want, would we say that people would like a good material result? Now, good material result just happens, or it's because we put in proper endeavor? So when we put in proper endeavor, that means we have to have focus, we have to have knowledge, all that. So it's a serious effort. Now, putting in all that effort with all that knowledge and all that experience, and if all we get back is the material, what's the point? Because the material we get back anyway is going to be according to our karma. Right? But now if we're doing the same thing with the same focus, same knowledge, same endeavor, but we're doing it to please Krishna, we see how it connects to Krishna. Because it's Krishna's potencies, the result will be for Krishna. It's Krishna's knowledge. We're simply an instrument. The body is doing the activities. We're simply an observer. We understand all this. Then it's for Krishna. It's for His pleasure. And being for His pleasure, now we get eternal benefit for it. Right? Whether we get a very nice result or not, that's another thing. Because depending on our attitude, if we can handle more than our karma, then we can get it. But if by getting more than our karma we become puffed up, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? Because the point is to be Krishna conscious. The point's not to get the material facility. Because we get the material facility, we still won't be happy. No matter what we have, there's always something more. You know, we finally get the blue one, then it would also be nice to have the pink one. You know, so it's just, it's never going to end. Right? But that's not a problem on the spiritual platform. On the spiritual platform, it never ends. It always develops more and more. The taste develops more and more. While in the material, the more and more desire we have, the more and more trouble we're getting. It's just, Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued. Yes, so this is the meaning of this type of identity has no sense of discrimination, since the Atma is completely different from both bodies. Prahlad Maharaj continued. The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees, without desire, fully dependent upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord, and worship Him, the Supersoul, in devotional service.
Disposition would be mercy here?
Yeah, basically means for us it would be. In other words, we have the particular knowledge. Right? And from that knowledge, then we see what to do. Right? We have a desire, we see the goal that can be attained from that desire, we see what is the subject matter and the process that could be used to get that desire. So then we put in that, we have that focus. Right? So that's the first stage, is the focus. Second stage is then making the endeavor. But since we're only taking part in the process, we're not actually in control of it. So who's sanctioning the whole process? Yes, Krishna. So therefore, the result depends upon Krishna. So that's why he's saying here, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Right? Means you can do, I've done the work, so I deserve the results. That's how Jaimini approaches it. right? The Lord's made the rules, you followed the rules, he said you'll get this result for the rules, so he has to give the result. But the actual point is, no, it's his disposition. He said if you follow this rule, you get the result. So that's his disposition. It's not that he's forced. But for the devotee, they don't do that. For the devotee, then they engage in the Lord's service. Right? And by engaging in the Lord's service, then Krishna being pleased with that service, then how he responds to that, that's up to him. Because just like we may do something, not get a result. Of course, we complain about that. But if we do something and we get 10 times the result, we're not complaining about that. We're not saying, oh, this is unfair. I only did this much work. Why am I getting 10 times the amount? You know? We're not doing that, you know? So our, what do you call it? How do you say? What do you say? You know, that we're feeling... We've done the work and then we feel it's not up to what we should get from Krishna. You know, but that's selective, you know. So, selective dissatisfaction. Right? You know, so in other cases then, you know, we're not saying this is not fair. So somebody said, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments. These are words of intelligence. Everyone should know that in every stage of life, we are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Dharma, religion, which we accept, should be that which is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavat Dharma. This is the instruction of Krishna. Sarva Dharmam Pratyaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. So what did you do that now you're in class, but you're in this particular form in class? Okay. Therefore, the Dharma, religion, which we accept, should be that which is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavat Dharma. Right? So, you have Dharma, which is simply the knowledge and mechanics of activity, right? That is dependent upon the particular, how you say, nature. Right? So that's a science. So, but what you do with it, that's what's important. Right? So when you deal with Dharma for the purpose of material benefit, right? So Dharma Artha Kama, then we'll call that karma. Right? Then when we do that for moksha, we'll call that by that name. That's jnana. But when we do that to please the Lord, that is called Bhagavad Dharma. Right? Does that make sense? The action is not different. Does that make sense? Yudhishthir Maharaj having a kingdom, that how he runs the kingdom, how he does all these different things, that's not different. Well, the cat's going with it. Both cats are going with it. Are you saying what he's calling? You have say you sacrifice one member for the rest of it. Okay. So if she's still out there with the cats on top of her, when after class when you leave, then you know, shoo the cats away.
Some people have allergies.
To cats? Really?
No, we do the cats.
Not serious.
Oh, okay. Oh, then you would have liked the Sphinx cat because there's no hair.
They look pretty. Remember that one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
That can be a karma. Be a cat with no hair.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's so, yeah. Yeah. Okay, does this make sense? This is what we're trying to get through, is that if we understand Dharma, then Bhagavad Dharma, at least mechanically, is easy to understand. Right? See, the difficulty is we have a problem. Those who follow the Dharma, then much of the time they're sentimentally attached to all that. So, oh, how could I about everybody involved? But they know what to do, and they do it nicely, and they get the results. Those who aren't exposed to Dharma, then it's like, what do we need that for? What has that got to do with everything? You know, so you end up with both these problems. That's what Prabhupada says, is you have the philosophy and the religion. So then with them both together, then you can actually do something. Mm-hmm. Right? You can actually get somewhere. This is the instruction of Krishna. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Bhagavad Gita 1866, right? So, I say, way more important than 1066, no? No? 1066. Battle of Hastings.
Oh.
Yes. So, here it says Bhagavad Dharma, that means Sarva Dharma Parityaja. So then we may think, oh, that means giving up. We don't do this religion. We don't do the activities. But then if you get rid of the activities, what do you replace it with? Your own mental speculation. So that's also, then by the same definition, not also Sarva Dharma Parityaja. What it means is you're giving it up because if I do this, this generates this result. Right? Everything has a nature. That's its dharma. And I use that dharma for getting results. Right? So giving up that concept, that's Bhagavad Dharma. I'm not giving up the activity. Right? That's what confused Arjuna right in the second chapter. So the beginning of the discussion is this. Right? That he's speaking all these points of dharma. Krishna says you're a fool. And there's the soul and all these elements past the soul and the transcendental. And then Arjuna goes, right, okay, I'm leaving all this, I'm going to the forest, I'll just focus on that. And Krishna said, no, you're going to fight. And so that was his first question. You know, when you're saying that this, you know, all this is, you know, not intelligent, then why do you engage me again back into this seemingly unintelligent action? So then Krishna explains karma yoga. So the point is you're doing action. But this action is not connected to a material benefit of karma and jnana. It's only connected to pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, if we say we're cooking, we're using the process of cooking, right? So that's dharma. Does that make sense? So that's the dharma of how things are how you apply heat in a controlled way to things using various techniques and condiments until you get something that we would consider edible, right? So that's science. That's the dharma of cooking. So then within that, then you have vegetables have one nature, grains have another, spices another. You know, then how you can combine them. Does this make sense? That's the science. That's dharma. So when Krishna says sarva dharmam parityaja, does that mean Krishna saying give up cooking? Huh? Of course. We just order out, right? That's all, you know. Why cook? That's Maya. You know?
I'm only good at making one thing, reservations.
Reservations. So, well, even that's pretty good. That's a high class. So.
There's extra verse in line with you.
Yeah. So Krishna tells Arjuna, perform. I say, make your reservation. Yeah. In the early, mid-1800s, like that, the European settlers were also very good at making reservations. Yes, it's a well-established activity. It's American tradition, yes. We don't want to buck the system. Right? So, does that mean give up cooking? It means give up cooking from the point of I cook, I get a result that now I can enjoy. In other words, the fruit of looking at religion, because by religion you get good work gives you good results, bad work gets bad results, right? So therefore we do good work to get good results. That's religion. So we give up that concept of religion and simply surrender to Krishna. So what does that mean? We cook, and the results that come from that are for Krishna. Does that make sense? So I can cook because it's the auspicious thing to do, it's the proper thing to do, and from that I can get my proper piety, and I'll get my sense gratification. I could cook because it's a way in which I can apply the principle of detachment, so I can cook without attachment, and I can liberate myself. But for cooking for Krishna, I'm getting a nice result that's something to offer to Krishna that has that transcendental personal relationship, and I get freed from material energy at the same time. So I get all the benefits of karma and jnana, and unlimitedly more. This is the meaning of sarvadharma paritya. Not this, sarvadharma, so we give all that up. We don't have to follow all that. You know, that's like saying, we should cook for Krishna, but we won't follow the process of cooking, because we've given up all those things. You understand? That's not a scientific approach. That's without knowledge, without understanding. Does it make sense? Yeah. And so if you apply that to what's before, is therefore, what is the dharma of the body? And then be not attached to the results of that dharma by applying the body, but apply that dharma to please Krishna. So then whatever body we have, whatever facilities go with that body, right? That's what then we engage in Krishna service. That's sarvadharma paritya. Right? If we identify with it, that's the opposite of sarvadharma paritya. Right? So it's at the other end of the scale. And as long as we identify, then the progressiveness is checked. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. To take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna means to act according to the rules and regulations of Bhagavad Dharma. So that means there is rules and regulations. Not that, Sarvadharma means no rules and regulations. Right? Okay. Devotional service. Right? Rules and regulations of Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service. According to one's position, one should perform his duties, but for the results, one should fully depend upon Krishna, right? So, Prabhupada's making it very clear here. It's not a speculative point. Very, very clear. Right? According to one's position. Means what the position is, not what you think your position is. Right? Because if everybody worked upon what they thought their position was, then, like you said, you'd have a lot of seriously, how you say, like elevated or well-positioned people in the world.
Many chiefs.
Yeah, there would be only chiefs. And each one would say they're their chief amongst the chiefs, right? Yeah, so that's the, yeah. Narottam Das Thakur sings that our only desire should be to perform the duties of Krishna consciousness. We should not be misled by the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which concludes that if we work seriously, the results will come automatically. Right? Because we're thinking, no, you have to have your job, and this is a way you can maintain your family. But what have I just said? Have I acknowledged the results coming by Krishna's grace here? No. I worked, I get the results. That's karma mimamsa. Right? So that's the whole point. Krishna's left out of that. That's why when we say these things that no, but you have to have a job, you have to get money, you have to maintain, we have to be practical, then we're saying that having the job that gets money that actually maintains us. But actually Krishna's maintaining. So it's karma mimamsa. That's why it's a problem. That's why when you're talking pure devotional service, then these questions come up. When you're talking karma yoga, they come up a little less because one's more comfortable because the medium is going together. Right? Does that make sense?
So, to the karma mimamsa followers, Where exactly do the results come from? Like, is it demigod, Brahman, is it himself?
It's that they have a name for the Supreme, I forget what they call it.
Yeah.
And so, he's giving, but he's giving because you've done the work. So it's just like, you know, you go into, how you say, Horn and Hard Art, and you put your coin into the machine and push the button, then you have to get what came from there, because you did the work. You put the money in, you push the button, you know, and then you reach your hand inside and take the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. Mm-hmm. I've done the rituals. Shastra says I've done them. It says this will be the result. Then the Lord has to give it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they don't really pay any attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they agree. He's created the whole thing. He's made the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why they're not. Why do we have to inquire about Brahman? Because the point is Brahman set this whole system up. And he's the one that, you know, the order supplier.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a matter of, we just have to do these work, and this way we'll be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this idea that, no, I'm doing the work, I get the results.
Mm-hmm.
So all this kind of, no, but you have to work, you have to be practical, all these kind of things, on one sense, they're correct. But if the consciousness isn't properly connected to Krishna, then they're not connected, they're material,
mm-hmm.
they're karma. Right? It means as devotees, of course, Krishna's involved in all that, but one's advancement will be greatly slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
But if we see that, no, I'm performing the work, now the results are up to Krishna. And Krishna will be giving according to my mentality and what will actually be good for my spiritual advancement.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he may give more, he may give less. Or, you know, and because he's given one doesn't mean that the other won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or doesn't mean that it won't change. You know, it's up to him, because it's about, we have to get used to the idea that the Lord's energy is going to mix things up, and that mixing things up then is the principle of variety. Now, in the spiritual world, all the variety is very nice. In the material world, the variety may or may not be nice. You know, sometimes we consider it nice, sometimes we don't consider it nice. You know, like, let's say Melbourne's weather. It's a variety, but it's not necessarily nice. Right? You know, you look out the window before you leave, the sun's out, you know, so then you go to the door, and once you get outside, it starts raining. Right? You know. Yeah.
Sounds like the request.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah. Yes. Okay, this is not a... okay. Karma Mimamsa philosophy concludes that if we work seriously, the work results will come automatically. This is not a fact. The ultimate result depends upon the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In devotional service, therefore, the devotee completely depends upon the Lord and honestly performs his occupational duties. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends to depend completely on Krishna and worship him in devotional service. Right? So that's what he's presenting. That's what he's recommending. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear, and he is the supreme controller. The demigod, demon, human being, yaksha, gandharva, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation. He is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us, the Mahajans headed by Prahlad Maharaj." Right? So the point is it doesn't matter what position you're in, you can render service. Depending upon what position you're in, you have a particular karma. And that result, those activities, and that will be what you can do. That's your duties, that's your activities. But, so that's fixed. But being able to connect yourself to the Lord, that anybody can do in any position. That's why it mentions here, you know, the demon, human being, yaksha, gandharva, like that. Because that's quite a wide range. And so, if any of them can be engaged in the Lord's service, then why not? I mean, Ramachandra, he had an army of monkeys, you know, and bears. like that. So, and they were engaged in service, so it's possible.
Rich
Asuras from the previous camp. Yeah, Rich Asuras from the previous, he was a big demon. You know, a big demon, not just a small time. You know. Not just, what do you call it? He was not a weekend warrior demon.
<Full-time>.
He was full-time professional, right? Yeah. I see. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect Brahmanas, demigods or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. Right? So, in other words, nothing mundane by becoming good at it, you can please the Lord. It's the engagement of whatever you have in the Lord's service that pleases Him. Right? So if you have, let's say, great intellectual capacity, by developing that knowledge to use in Krishna's service, it's the using that in Krishna's service that pleases Him. Since you have that capacity, naturally you'll use that. Someone else has other abilities. They cultivate that to please Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord. So we say they're qualifications, but if they're not connected to the Lord, technically they're disqualifications. Okay. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. That doesn't mean they're not used. It means that they're used to please Krishna. Right? So that's the point. Is that we can say, you know, not by cooking potatoes, by cooking cauliflower, by cooking eggplant, by making sweets, can you, you know, see, awaken the pleasure of the Lord. It's only when they're done with devotion. Right? When that's done with devotion, then it awakens His pleasure. So same with all these other qualifications, only when they're in connection to the Lord do they give Him pleasure. Right? Otherwise, they don't. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. 37. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 51 and 52 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 14, entitled Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Pratikuli Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Right? So, all these mundane qualifications that in the material world people consider so important and they work very hard for, then they do not please the Lord. They don't attract the Lord. So these are disqualifications in bhakti. Right? If you identify with them and think because of this, therefore you will please the Lord, that will be get in the way of your devotional service. But when we simply think as whatever I have in the way of body, mind, and words, I engage in the Lord's service, that will attract the Lord. Right? So it's not a matter of whether you're doing big service or small. It's that you're doing full service. Right? The commitment is complete. Right? That sincerity is there. Therefore, the monkeys are carrying mountaintops, and the squirrel and the spider are just moving, you know, grains of sand. But for the Lord Ramachandra, they're the same, because it's full endeavor. Right? If you want to build a bridge, okay, the monkeys are doing work that'll get you across. But the point is, the sense it's about devotion. Therefore, they're all doing the same work. Does that make sense? My dear friends, O sons of the demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the Supersoul of all living entities. Srila Prabhupada comments. One can very intelligently conclude that without devotional service, without becoming Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy. Therefore, the duty of all devotees is to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere, all over the world. Because all living entities without Krishna consciousness are suffering the pangs of material existence. To preach Krishna consciousness is the best welfare activity. Prahlad Maharaj continued, O my friends, O sons of demons, everyone, including you, the yakshas and rakshasas, the unintelligent women, shudras and cowherd men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities, can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of bhakti yoga. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. Right? So, otherwise one might think only the qualified Brahmins who study the scriptures very nicely, then they could go on, you know, in devotional service, because if devotional service is beyond the position of the Brahmin, then that would mean, that they would be the closest to being qualified for that. But since it's devotional service is the principle of the soul, then there's it's open to everybody. So anyone who one might think is not qualified is qualified to devotional service. One simply has to follow this principle of just do whatever you're doing for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, when pure bhakti, ananya bhakti, is present, in maturity one sees the Lord everywhere. It is said, the devotees dedicated to the highest truth see everything as Narayana, just as greedy persons see the world as wealth, and the lusty man sees the world as enjoyable women. Similarly, Prahlad saw the Lord in the pillar. Right? So whatever is important to you, that's what you can see in the world. So if Krishna is important, you can actually see him in everything. We would think, well, how do you do that? You know. But the point is this, do we just see Krishna there in the pillar? Just Krishna's there playing his flute and all that. The point is someone looks at various situations and sees money. Does he just see, like, you know, how you say, you know, notes sitting there, or just, you know, dollar signs everywhere, you know? Yes, you could ask. Maybe that's why they look so different, right? Because, you know, all they see is dollar signs.
Sometimes they're seeing his eyes.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, you have them in the eyes. So, the point is they see the potential, the potency, they see, but it's all connected to money. So in the same way, the devotee sees everything connected to Krishna. And then if he sits and contemplates that, then that will go back to Krishna as a person. Right? So if they're preaching, then they leave it at what it was, and they'll control themselves. But if they're, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj is just sitting in the corner, it doesn't matter. Yes.
Ananya bhakti here would mean just regular devotional service, or it's...
Ananya means would be pure.
Bhava?
No, ananya bhakti just means like pure devotional service, or unalloyed devotional service.
Because sometimes... I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does this. Anishtita bhakti, what would that be?
Anishtita.
Yeah.
I would think that means unsteady.
Unsteady? Mm.
Like that, because it means when one takes up devotional service, it may not be steady, because we're just so habituated to the material activities that we'll keep going in and out of material activities and spiritual. Mm-hmm. So when that comes to the point where it's steady, where we're always on an even keel in devotional service, then we would call that Nishtha Bhakti. Like that. Then when that matures, that becomes Bhava, and then when that matures, it becomes Prema. Is that true? Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, in this verse, the words Sarvatra Tad Ikshanam describe the highest perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. The highly elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. So that can mean directly connected to Govinda, or something means you see him himself, or you see opportunities that those things can be engaged in his service, right? Or those who could be engaged in his service. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter what it is, on what level, one always sees the Lord connected with it. One is always able to therefore, be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Right. So Prahlad Maharaj here sees the Lord in the pillar. So he's saying, is the Lord here in the pillar? And yes, the Lord is his potency. That's what's holding the pillar up. That's what gives it its pillarness is Krishna. And because he's seeing like, so then naturally he'll think of Krishna, who is, his potency is the pillarness. And so then the Sringadeva appears. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Chaitanya Charitamrita Mandalila 8.274. Right. So, you're not seeing the material thing, you're seeing what is that connection of that thing with Krishna. Right. That's what you're seeing. Right? Just like we said, the businessman sees an opportunity for business. He's not exactly seeing the elements of the field. He's seeing the potential of what you can do with that field. So the devotee, he doesn't actually see material energy as such, because he just sees opportunities to serve Krishna. We call it the material world because people see it in connection with what you can materially gain for the senses. That's the material world. But the great devotees, the Mahabhagavats, are seeing that same world, but they're not seeing that. They're seeing opportunities to serve Krishna. It's the same things. It's Hiranyakashipu, the pillar he's looking at, and the one Paladmars is looking at are the same pillar. Right? Not that Paladmars is looking at the one over there. So he hits the pillar and nothing happens. See, he's not here. No, that pillar over there. Even in the material world, the devotee does not see the material manifested thing. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. When he sees a tree or human being, a devotee sees them in relation to Govinda. Govindam Adipurusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govindas Sarvakarana Karana. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origins. For he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The test of a perfect devotee is that he sees Govinda everywhere in this universe, even in every atomic particle. Andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam. This is the perfect vision of a devotee. So, it all is about Krishna, but it's not that some aspect's not being taken care of in his form as Paramatma or as Brahman, but those are all resting in Krishna, so therefore he sees Krishna in everything. But how he's carrying it out, this is being carried out in his Paramatma feature, this is the Brahman feature, this he's carrying out personally. Right? Because personally he carries things out with his internal potency. That's the pastimes. And everything else that we're seeing, that's being taken care of by his features as Paramatma and Brahman. But we do see that sometimes, which is also his pastime, he takes care of things directly himself. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, like Raghunath, like we mentioned, Raghunath Das is sitting in the sun at Radhakun chanting, and Radharani's coming and putting her veil over his head so that he doesn't get too much sun. So that becomes part of the pastime. So when Krishna is involved, it's pastime. Otherwise, it's just the potential is there. It's all Krishna's potencies. It's all connected to him. And we can see like that. Then we see things connected to Krishna. So that's it. Okay. These pages are good. You tell Pandava to put in plenty of these pages. That page and this page. Oh, there was once I saw it was a grammar book. You know, for kids to learn, you know, it was divided up into six parts, and you go through the book six times, but you go through so quickly you felt good about it. So we could always put it, you know, divide it up and just put it, you know, like, you know, wow, we did 50 pages today. You know? Yeah. Chapter 8, Lord Nrsingadev slays the king of the demons. Pratigya, the only enemies are the uncontrolled mind and senses. That's actually enemies, because nothing else can actually give you a problem. Right? It may deal with the body, it may deal with something there, but it's not going to... They're not the real problem, because the modes and nature of those things change. But unfortunately, if we're not controlled the mind and senses, those don't change. In fact, they go with you to your next life. You know, enemies you might have in this life, like that, when you go to the next form, next body, they may not be there, you know, like that. But your mind and your senses that created that enemy will go with you. Mm-hmm. And so in that way then, we'll create the enemies. Yes. Chapter 8 summarizes questions and answers. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj question 711 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam 786. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you, right? So the whole point of ruling means is that there's the aspect of fear. So everybody else has that fear, right? You know, someone like Narad Muni doesn't. But it doesn't feel fear. But the others all feel fear. That's how you feel you rule them. He has no fear, so therefore, how can you rule? Right? Control is in the position of envy and fear. Mm-hmm. So if someone has no fear, you can't control them. And if they have fear, you can control them.
Which one is the enjoyer?
I is the controller, and mine is the... Yes. No, but you have to understand is that, how you say, it's a matter of the focus. The identity is that I am the controller, therefore I need to enjoy. The other is that, you know, you have the principle of enjoyment, then you have to control to make that stable.
Because their minds are enjoying. That's why I'm confused sometimes.
Their mind, so I'm enjoying them.
I'm controlling them also.
But the thing is their mind, but it's only how are they mind? Because you control them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're walking down the street, and, you know, this Bentley drives by, and so then you turn to your friend and says, yeah, hey, how do you like my car? Yeah. Right? So then the whole point is, can you claim proprietorship? Why not? Because you don't control it. Somehow or another, the guy sitting in the back seat, you know, in connection with the guy in the front seat who's driving, have a whole different idea about controlling and enjoying the car. Right? They don't seem to be, how you say, supportive of your opinion. Yeah. So that makes sense? Yeah. So unless you control it, you can't enjoy it. Right? You know, you walk, you go by the shop, you see something you like, you have to go in and buy it, then you control it.
But some people seem to be content just walking by and looking. Does it mean they're less controller, they're less enjoyers, because they mean something?
No, because then it's just a matter of through looking, that's their control. It's just more subtle. It just means they have more... simpler, or they may have a vata constitution where just by contemplating something, then you're satisfied. Okay. So, But the principle is that still, if you can't see it, how do they enjoy it? They're walking by, they can see it, and so then they can contemplate it. So that means, in one sense, by the mind, they've captured it. Right? So on the mental level, they had it. Just on the physical level, they don't have it.
Okay. whenever I hear this fearlessness, I just think about like the prototypical like action star, or in the movie, like they always go after his family because it's the only like weak point about him. And so there's always that fear that's there, the fear of the safety of my family members.
Yes.
So does that fit in the definition of pure devotional service? There's that desirelessness doesn't include like the desire to not get hit by a car on the street or something. That's also counted in another category. That it's fair to have some kind of desire. So
no, but
it's fair to have some basic fears.
It's not so much that. It's just that since the body is what you are using in the Lord's service, that if the body gets run over by a truck, then it doesn't do as great service. So that's why you don't step out on the curb when the truck goes by. So it's a matter of, it's within duties to that self-preservation, is simply because in that, in the human form, then you can be Krishna conscious. So one has one's duties, one tries to take care. But at the same time, you have to know how much is the whole principle.
So there is the concept of like legitimate fears for the sake of Krishna. I'm scared of this result going wrong. That might jeopardize.
Oh, that's another thing. Yes, because you want a good result for Krishna, but ultimately the result's up to Krishna. We're not the controller. So you want a proper result for Krishna. So it's not that Mother Yashoda, it wasn't the experience of fear when Krishna's in the coils of Kali.
Yeah.
But it's about Krishna's safety, and Krishna's not her own.
Yeah.
You know, so it's connected back to Krishna, it has some meaning.
Yeah.
When it's not connected to Krishna, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, as you're saying, a Jarabhara, it may have started that way, but it didn't end that way.
Yeah.
Not Jarabhara, I mean Bharat Maharaj.
Yeah.
So it's not, the principle is not that you're fearing, the principle is that you're thinking about Krishna.
Right.
So when you're thinking about Krishna, then that particular aspect of fear is not considered fear.
Yeah.
You know, just like you're saying, the cooking is not considered mundane.
Yeah.
It's spiritual. You know, so dharma, so that all these things are part of dharma.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in Manu, it's by the rule, Brahmins can't do things that will jeopardize their physical well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when it's outside, it's raining and it's muddy, mm-hmm. Brahmins can't run.
Mm-hmm.
Others may run, but Brahmins aren't allowed to run.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say you're traveling and you're looking for a place to stay, and so there's an empty building or an empty cave or empty something. If you can't see everything inside, they're not allowed to go in.
Yeah.
Right? Kshatriya might, because if he gets around the corner and there's a tiger there, he can take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, but the Brahmin can't. So the duty is there. You can't jeopardize.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, because the body is meant for serving Krishna. So if you're not taking care, that means you're not valuing the how do you say, the opportunity that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that means the one's not focused, one's not sincere.
Yeah.
You know, is that what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why those are there, you know, all these different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj answers the question in verses 7 and 8. The rhetorical questions uttered by Hiranyakashipu in verses 12, 18, and 23, as well as the ones spoken by the demigods during their prayers, do not come under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nirikeshari, half lion and half man, and killed him. Right? So that's where you put the asterisk.
Yeah.
Right here. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless, so here they're becoming afraid when something's connected to the Lord rather than when something's disconnected. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down on his feet and said many things just to pacify him. But he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, and that no one is equal or greater than him. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnav son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statements as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. Right, because he just wanted to, that you're saying this, but he's not there. Because the point is if Vishnu's in the pillar, then Hiranyakashipu's idea, he'll break the pillar and then see, you know, how is your Lord in this? I'm more powerful. If your Lord's in the pillar, how is it I'm able to break the pillar? So he was quite surprised when he smashed the pillar and out jumped Lord Nrisingadev. That was not in his plan. Right? It was not like that. Yes. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Nrisingha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death. And thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. Right, so he's coming out because Prahlad said. So Prahlad's thinking the Lord is a person. He's all pervading through everything. Right? He understands the principles of what's there, but because Prahlad is saying he's there, therefore he appeared. Otherwise, just the roar could have been enough. I mean, he could have killed him with his roar. But, you know, where is going to be the, the dramatic build-up, you know, that's going to be there, right? And he didn't even have to roar, just he would have hit the column and, you know, died. Or he would have just, you know, choked on a peanut or, you know, whatever. You know, that didn't require anything. The Lord could have made so many arrangements.
The peanut.
You say the most prominent way of taking out Russian mafia mafiosos, right?
It would make such an interesting deity form to worship.
yes. So would it have a top hat and a monocle? Yes. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. Right? So he came out before just when it happened, but he played and fought until the twilight, because that's the time when he could kill him. Because Lord can do anything he likes, but what's the point of having Brahma there, and as a Brahmin, he's giving his word, and then it's not being kept. So the even more special is his devotee has said this, and then the Lord keeps that point. Right? Therefore, he fulfills. Because otherwise, who other than the Lord could fulfill all that? Right? That's the masculine principle. Right? How impossible is it? Not in the day, not in the night, not in inside, not outside, not by, you know, man, animal or demigod. I say not by any weapon. All the morning, anything like this. So, now is that impossible or not? Yes. But he fulfills it. That's the masculine principle. No matter how impossible it is, you make the endeavor. You use your intelligence to come up with how to make it work. And so if you can accomplish it, great. And if you can't, at least the endeavor was made. And better luck next time. Just don't worry, there will be a next time. Yes.
No half man, half lion.
No boars out of nostrils. Okay. Okay. On the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. Right? So it means he was comfortable to keep going, right? So literally, the saying, we could do this all night, means he could have, but there was no one else to fight with. They were all dead. So then he just sat down on his asan, right? Because that's his seat, so then you've killed him, sat on the seat, then you've conquered. Right? The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods, right, because they're transcendental bliss, because they're thinking of this pastime connection to the Lord, how the Lord took care. So therefore they have that aspect. Then all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pitas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. Vaitalikas? Oh, that's another thing. I was thinking Vaimanikas. Okay. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgent was brilliant as he sat on the throne. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses 1-14. Prahlad Maharaj reveals the source of all power. 15-34, the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev. 35-56, the demigods rejoice and offer their prayers. Verses 1-14. Prahlad Maharaj reveals the source of all power. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the angry and agitated. Wow. So it's we're actually obtaining the perfection of the dramatic grammatical usage.
Very detailed.
Yes. Yeah, so it's not just the father, it's not just the demoniac father, it's his demoniac father, right?
Looks like German.
Huh?
Looks like German.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we're saying. Yes.
It would be capitalized in German.
Yes, of course. He derided the boy's state. When Hiranyakashipu heard that the Lord is everywhere, including in the pillar, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. Narad Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amarka. Srila Prabhupada comments, this is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narad Muni, his preaching is effective. As is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:25, Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hrid karna rasayana katha. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teacher, Shanda and Amarka. who are interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. Right, so that's the point. It's meant for sense gratification, so they're not, can't be counted within devotion. You can study these topics in connection to how to use them in Krishna service, and that will be devotional service.
Interesting that Prabhupada is talking about, by following the instructions of the spiritual master, everything successful in the teaching.
Yes.
Prabhupada, he never gave himself credit, he always did.
Yes, very good.
Narada Muni right now, he's the one who's relating this pastime, and he is the one who...
Yes. But he's just relating it because that's what happened.
Yeah.
He's not relating it because, you know,
Prahlad Maharaj,
my disciple. Yeah. I'm one of the Mahajans, but I have Mahajans for disciples. So what kind of Mahajan does that make me? What he's missing is that, Mahajan. But then he's the disciple of Lord Brahma, so that makes Brahma the Mahajan. Yeah, so that sincerity, sincere and serious, that's the qualification. And that means then taking the instructions to heart very nicely. Okay. Narada Muni continued. When Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. Srila Prabhupada comments. The words buddhim, right? So, yeah. Buddhim ekanta samstitam indicate that as an effect of Prahlad Maharaj's preaching, the students who listened to him became fixed in the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is the only object of human life. The fact is that anyone who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instructions becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness and is not disturbed by materialistic consciousness. The teachers particularly observe this in their students, and therefore they were afraid because the whole community of students was gradually becoming Krishna conscious. Right, gradually, because they're contemplating and practicing, so like that, day by day, they're advancing. Mm-hmm. So they could see that. It's not that they don't know what these things are, they're just not interested. Because the point is you contemplate anything, practice it, you become good at it. Right? The devotional service, being on the transcendental platform, is connected with the soul, it's actually quicker. Mm-hmm. Right? Narada Muni continued, when Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake, tramped upon by someone's foot. His son, Prahlad, was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control. He stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised, right? Because his age was young, and he was behaving properly. So then at that point, you're not chastising. You have to deal in a nice way. If there's something to instruct, it's instructed in a pleasant way. Mm-hmm. Or if it's something very minor that can be taken care of in some other way, then it's not even brought up. You just take the mood that's there and carry it from that. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Verses 3 and 4. Srila Prabhupada comments. When one is impudent towards a highly authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. The duration of his life is diminished, and he loses the blessings of superior persons and the results of pious activities. Hiranyakashipu, for example, had achieved such great power in the material world that he could subdue practically all the planetary systems in the universe, including the heavenly planets, Svargaloka. Yet, Now, because of his mistreatment of such a Vaishnava as Prahlad Maharaj, all the results of his tapasya diminish. Because otherwise he would live for a long time, have his power, his position, but because of his insult to Prahlad Maharaj, then basically he was reduced down to, by twilight, he'd be dead. You know, so that's why one avoids these things. Right? Hiranyakashipu said, "O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind." Right? Because generally the definition of lowest of mankind is that person who is not interested in Krishna consciousness. So in this particular scenario, then one who is Krishna conscious must be the lowest. Right? They see everything upside down.
That's what he did. He reversed all the laws of the material.
Yes, yes. He reversed them all, so now it's... Yeah. "You have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you?" Srila Prabhupada comments. Hiranyakashipu was perplexed about how his 5-year-old boy could be so fearless that he did not care for the order of his very great and powerful father. A devotee cannot execute the order of anyone except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the position of a devotee. Hiranyakashipu could understand that this boy must have been very powerful, since the boy did not heed his orders. Hiranyakashipu asked his son, "Kim Balaha, how have you overcome my order? By whose strength have you done this?" Right? Because you know it must be coming from somewhere else, because generally you're not seeing 5-year-olds being so powerful. Right? You know, that's not the general position, right? You know, unless it's some weirdo sci-fi movie or something. You know, then you have something really weird. Right? Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but he is only, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or non-moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So he's wondering about this power, because that was his question. Where do you get this power? So he's saying, you know, it's the same place that you're getting it. Everybody gets from the Supreme Lord. The difference is the devotee recognizes, the non-devotee doesn't. So they claim that this is my strength. Well, the devotee, they understand, no, this is the Lord's strength. It's not mine. Okay? That's how they can remain humble. Okay? "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also." Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equal poise towards everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everything on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly." Right? So the concept of enemy is actually coming from the mind. Because otherwise, who's enemy to the soul? Who's enemy to the Lord? Right? The body is there, the conditioned nature is there, but the soul is not that, so then who actually is the enemy? Mm-hmm. Right? If you say it's the soul, then, but the soul is pure, why would they be your enemy? Mm-hmm. If you say it's the body, it's dead matter. So where's the real enemy? The enemy's in our mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's the actual point. So if you give that up, you're not affected by enemies, like Prahlad Maharaj is not. Not that the other person doesn't remain inimical towards you. That's their own problem. Mm-hmm. Right? But if you give it up, then you're not affected. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.